Torahway, Northwest London, Wednesday, Dalad Nisan, the 17th of March, Harav Yosef Chaim Mimran, Shlita. A Shaila in Choshen Mishpat.
And hopefully we'll be able to connect it to Pesach as well, so it's Hashem. Shalom Aleichem, everyone. Pleased to be back. And we'll be discussing a little bit of Choshen Mishpat. Okay, so we'll be discussing two different Isur Chazal, very famous. I think we mentioned this in the past as well. One Isur Chazal is called Onim Hafir Bechorara. That is found in the Gemara Kedushin Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph. And another Isur we'll be speaking about is in Choshen Mishpat, it's called Marufya. Marufya that we'll explain in a minute. So Onim Hafir Bechorara, I think everybody's heard of this. Is when an oni, the Gemara explains, an oni is after a piece of bread on the floor or wherever, and he's making advancements to get the bread. Another oni preempts him and runs quickly and gets that piece of bread. The Gemara said, that's no good. You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't go and preempt somebody when you see that the first person has already taken actions in order to acquire it. We'll see whether we're talking about an ownless object or something which is owned, hefker or not hefker. But that's basically the issue of Oni Mahafik Bechorora. You don't preempt somebody. Yeah. No, anything. Any. Bread. Bread. So any. Could be, I don't know about that, but it has to be an item that you can quantify that you're about to make a kinyan on to acquire, something that you acquire. And somebody, for example, you're in the store or let's say you're on a house, you know, you're inquiring about a house, you're going to make an offer that, for the house, and somebody gazumps you, that would be a shayla of Oni Mahafir Bechorara. And then the other issue that we want to speak about is Marufya, which is a Gemara in Baba Basra, Dav Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. It's a different issue. And we're going to try to compare them because they do overlap, they're very similar in a way. So the Chavos Ya'ir in Shuva Mem Beis says that it comes from the Pasuk, because what is this word, Marufya, what does it mean exactly? Marufya means from the Pasuk in Sefer Devarim, Yaruf Kamata Likri. You know, it's a flow. Marufya is a flow of dew in that particular Pasuk, but it's sort of a nickname for a flow of income. If somebody has a flow of income and somebody infringes on that flow of income, whether it's customers or whatever the case will be, that is a shaila of marufia. Okay, so you can see that it's sort of similar to the first Isur Chazal of Ani Mahafir, but we'll see exactly, this is a machlokes, so showing them how to learn each one of them, and we'll see how we compare them. Okay, so firstly, the way I want to start with a shaila. A shaila in the Minchas Chidus, the Minchas Yitzchak. The Minchas Yitzchak in Chelik Beis Tshuva Tzadik Dalit has the following shaila. So we had Reuven, which was a manufacturer, and who had Shimon, who was employed. So Shimon was working there for 10, 15 years, and he built himself up as a good salesman, and he had a whole client base of people which he acquired, all these clients. Like everything, all good things come to an end, and Shimon now wants to leave the company. So he's been approached by Yaakov, so Shimon now is leaving, the employee is leaving and going to another firm to work over there. Now obviously Shimon worked very hard over there in Reuven's original establishment and built up a whole client base. And now he wants to take that client base to a different manufacturer. So that was the shaila. It was a little bit more complicated than that, but that's the crux of the shaila. Is Shimon able to take his whole client base with him, or really does it belong to the original manufacturer and say, no, you know, you build the client base for our company, you can't take it to company B. Okay, that was the shaila in the Minchas Chinuch. That Minchas Yitzchak.
Sorry, these were Reuven's existing clients, or no. Shimon made those clients?
No, Shimon made those clients.
But while he was working for Reuven?
That's right. Okay. Yeah. Another case I want to discuss, it's in the Pischei Choshen, Chelek Dalet Simen Pei Gimel, talks about, I don't know if it still exists in Eretz Yisrael, but I, you know, as a bocher learning in Eretz Yisrael, we have this quite frequent. and is, you know, you're standing at a bus stop, an egged bus stop, and then all of a sudden a car passes by or a van, whips open the door and say, you know, bo, come and I can take you to the next bus stop for half the price or whatever. Does that still exist? Anybody knows?
Probably.
Yeah. Or taxis, you know, they sit by the bus stop.
Double the price.
Double the price. I don't know if anybody would go for double the price. Could be. You know, it's express service, adding a better service. I often went on these things. It was quite quick, actually quite convenient. But the shaila would be, he clears the pischei shchoshim, clears whether that's called stealing. Whether these taxis, you know, with these minibuses with, you know, 12 seats are you know, egged. They built these bus stands. They advertise for the customers to come here. They're sort of, they could be considered as the customers of Egid. And all of a sudden, these taxi drivers whoosh by and take all the customers away. And Egid is not left with many customers there. So, like again, I don't know if that's a reality, but that's not the point. The point is the Shaila Shabo. Whether that would be considered to be a Shaila of Gezel or not. Or Kigezel. It's not Mamush Gezel, but it's Mamush. Of these two, Marufia or Ani Mehafech. Sorry? Yeah. Okay, so let's start with the Rishonim. Let's start with the Rashbo. The Rashbo in Chelek Gimel, in Shuvah, in Chelek Gimel, Chelek Beis, he says as follows. Sorry, it's Perek Gimel, Chelek Gimel. He talks about a case of tailors. So there was a tailor, he says. This is a shot that was brought to the Rashba. He talked about a tailor that was getting, which had a customer that came to him every once a year. He'd come to him, let's say, Rosh Hashanah, to make a suit. And he could count on this particular customer every single year that he would come to him and make a suit for him. Lo and behold, Rosh Hashanah comes and goes. He doesn't see the customer. One day he sees him and he said, "What happened? My high, you've been coming to me for 20 years. And he says, "Well, really, actually, I was on the way to your store when I was stopped by another tailor. And he told me he can make my same suit that I wanted to precision for half the price. For half the price." So in essence, that second tailor had taken away the customer from tailor out. So the Rashba was confronted with the Shaila. And, you know, in modern day business, you would say, you know, well, that's good for the second tailor, you know, he marketed it properly, he was able to find the market targets and the audience and draw his customers and make business, you know. Kol HaKavod, he did a good marketing plan over there. But, you know, the Rashba says it's tantamount to stealing. He was very machmir in this Shaila, and he said, even though Beis Din can't really do anything about it, but they can, you know, reprimand him with words. It's not like in Oni Mehafech. If it's Oni Mehafech, already that Beis Din can, you know, put up signs in shuls and calling this person a rasha for taking away business from the person. That's a different issue. But in this particular shaila, he thought it was a shaila of Marufia. It was a steady income coming into the first tailor. And all of a sudden, the second tailor pulls him away. That, he says, is tantamount to stealing. And he brings a Gemara in Baba Basra, Chaf Aleph Amad Aleph, that says like this. Brings a Braisa. That there was a fisherman. And the fisherman had, you know, there was a pool of water, whatever, the little lake over there, and he was sitting there and he spread his net. And another fisherman came along and spread his net really close to the first fisherman. The Bible says, Mefush, that's awesome. Says Rashba, you see that clearly, that once you are established and your customer, well, in this case would be the fish, would be the customers. So the fish are, you know, coming towards this first net. All of a sudden, the second net comes in. The Baisa says, it's also. Says the Rashba, same thing over here. You had the tailor Aleph. He had a steady customer coming every year. He was planning to come. He even admitted he was going to come. And all of a sudden, the other tailor pulls him away. That's the second fisherman pulling the net. Mefush Baisa is stuck also.
Not the same thing when you make publicity that you sell the same item cheaper. You've got it on the internet or on the newspapers or...
So you're saying nobody can advertise at all?
Exactly.
You can't advertise?
No, but it's different. You're saying it to someone else.
It's the same thing as the tailor.
No, but no, what you're saying is the common hub, the item or the business, just when he's on the way. Starting to advertise is a completely different thing. They're starting from the same platform.
Yeah, it's not so easy just to say you can't advertise. We'll see that, you know, there's qualifications over here exactly when and how. And that's what we're going to be talking about now. So in Shulchan Aruch, in Choshe Mishpat, Simen Kuf Nun Vav Sif Hei. There's a Ramah, there's a lengthy Ramah, talks about different shitas by the Shaila of Marufya. We're taking away a steady income flow from somebody else. So the Ramah brings down two shitas, basically two shitas. I think it's a four-way machlokes, it's Rishonim, but basically categorizes them either is whether it's mamish osur or whether it is mutter. And the Marshal in Tshuva's Lamed Vav discusses what is the Nekudas HaMachlokes, what are they actually arguing about? If it seems to be the Gemara in Bav Basra, Chav Aleph HaMarav, it's Mefurish that it's osur, what is there to discuss? So the Marshal brings up two chilukim that you can compare to argue. Those who argue with the Rashba brings two reasons why you could argue with the Rashba. And it's not so poshut to medame to the case of the fishermen. So says the Marshal that the Ramah, he's bringing out these two shitas, says the chiluk as follows. When you're dealing with customers, you can't necessarily compare it to the case of fishermen. Okay, because when you're dealing with customers, it's not necessarily true that you're losing anything. You're assuming that your customer is going to come to you every year and buy. Well, that could be a false assumption, because it could be that he comes into your store one year and sees that he doesn't like the quality or doesn't like the way you're looking at him and just walks straight out. So you can't say that, oh, I would have made that sale, I would have made money off that customer, and you stole them, you know, you owe me money. Well, prove it to me that customer would actually ever bought anything in your store. When you're dealing with fish don't have free choice. Fish are already caught by, it's a small lake, either would have been caught by this net or that net. It's very clear cut. So the fisherman case in the Baisa, we can understand Chazal say it's also because the fish were going to go into that first fisherman's net. By you drawing them away with better bait in your second net, you drawn them away, and therefore the first one lost. When you're dealing with customers, a customer's true could be that he went into your store or he was going to your store, but who's to say you would have actually caught him? You understand the chiluk? Who says you're actually going to caught him? Could be that the people would have actually walked out. That's the first chiluk that we find. Yeah.
In the story that you told us about the tailor,
yeah,
you said he was actually on his way to the tailor to make a suit.
Yeah, but so we don't know for sure.
He would have ordered the suit.
Well, that guy.
I don't know.
He says that was his intention.
From intention to the
what?
He has free choice there. You haven't
taken
away his choice.
You haven't taken away his choice.
He might have liked it.
Then he would have walked in.
He offered him the same thing at a cheaper price. You're going to make a suit.
But it's his choice, cheaper.
Okay.
So you can take away.
Yeah, no, but it could have been that he would have walked into the first tailor's and decided, you know, I don't like the quality of your fabrics at all. It's not like last year. Inferior quality, and therefore I'm not going to buy from you. So we're not. It's not 100% sure that the first tailor would have lost in that particular circumstance. I understand, you could be taking the side of the Rashbol, and he says, no, like you said, I spoke to my customer, he was definitely going to buy from me, and this and that. You took that potential income from me. Says the Rashba, that would be awesome. But according to the other Rishonim, says, no, potential income is not called loss in income. Okay, that could be the machloekis between them. Now, the second point was that the Marshal makes that you cannot compare it to the case of the fishermen, is because in the case of the fisherman was there first. It's a big difference. When somebody's already established there and receiving income and he's there, yom v'yomo, every single day he's there spreading his fish in the particular mokum, and then you come in, a second fisherman would come after that, you're sort of infringing in on his space, on his regular type of income. Masha Enkin, customers that you have, let's say two stores are one from the other, and the first store has a client base, but there's no problem of you opening your doors. Is there a problem of you opening your doors and maybe another one of his customers will walk into your store with free choice? Who's to say that's also? Again, from the Braisa, all we'll see that there was one fisherman there. He was fishing, and he was getting fish in his net. And then all of a sudden, another fisherman comes along, spreads his net with a better bait, and lures the other customer from one net to the other net. How can you compare that to customers? The customer is walking down, and you have two stores, let's say in the case of the tailors, two tailor stores, one on one side of the street, the other one on the other side of the street, and the customer decides to veer himself into your store. Can you say that you lured him out? Maybe not. So those are the two chilukim, how we can understand that it's not mamish doime to the case of the Gemara Bava Basra, and therefore it's not mamish osur.
There's also a different chilik, I mean, with a fish,
yeah.
You take away his stock, there's nothing to say that even if he catches more, he'll be able to sell more. You're not taking away his customer, the fish is not the customer. The fish is your stock, he has less stock to sell. It doesn't mean by you taking away, he's going to sell less. Maybe he won't be much left selling it anyway.
Well, we're not talking about the future here. We're talking about what he can possibly sell, not possibly sell. The shaila is, did he actually take something from him?
But it's not the customer he took. He took his stock away from
him. The Rashbam says that's customers. What's the difference? Whether it's, you know, it's a fish in the water or a person walking down the street, it's the same type of situation. It's, we look at it as a dollar sign. You know, they have value.
It's one step removed, you know what I'm saying? This is stuff that he could potentially sell.
Why potentially sell? It's
There could be two people catch the same amount of fish.
Yeah.
One is a better salesman in a different place. I'm not stopping you sell. I'm taking away your stock.
Sorry, if the two fishermen are private people, they're not. They don't have to be people who are fishing in order to sell.
Oh,
they could just be fishing for their family.
Well, the Marshal says further. He says in that particular case of the Gemara, the vice over there in Barbas, you have to be a professional fisherman. Yeah, that's what he wants to take on.
The shop depends if he called the other shop calling in, or he just
We'll speak about that.
No, whether he's taking a bread for himself.
That's a bread.
On the Mount Charano, he's not selling the bread, he's taking it to eat himself. So.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay, now let's talk about a shaila, how to maybe apply it to our inyan of Pesach over here. Now, this is a very interesting shaila. Now, Masas Ben Yomim. Masas Ben Yomim was a Talmid of the Rashal. He has a tshuva men gimel. Very, very interesting tshuva. Now, listen to this. So, you know, it's Erev Pesach, imagine, and let's say you're a big store owner of, Kosher World, or whatever, I think the Kosher World is called?
Kingdom.
King's World?
Kingdom.
Kosher Kingdom, right? With all this chametz, and all of a sudden, he doesn't burn all that chametz. What is he going to do? He's going to sell it to a goy, you know. Kedas v'kedin. He's going to do all the kinyonim, agba, meshicha, sell it to a goy, kinyan chalipin, all the different kinyonim to make sure that he's not over any isur bal yiroi by matzeh. Then Mr. Kosher Kingdom goes after Pesach. He goes to the goy. Said, "Okay, Mr. Goy, I want to buy all my chametz back. I have customers coming in an hour or so." And the goy tells him, "Oh, you don't know what happened. Another yid came to me with a better price and I sold it to him. Your chametz is gone. Sorry, I gave him the keys and that's it." So, let's hear what the audience would say in that particular case. Does the second yid have any rights to that chametz? But emes? Was the whole thing a joke? Or we say, no, the Maisa is, the goy had rights to that chametz, and therefore, theoretically, not even theoretically, he actually sold it, and that's it. The Mr. Kosher Kingdom lost all of his chametz. What do you say? He lost all of his chametz. Yeah. Easy as that. That's a good business. You can do what?
He'd be delighted to sell it all.
Delighted to sell it.
Yeah.
I don't think he'd be too happy after, Yom Tov, all the customers are knocking on his door.
Yeah, because he can't get new stock.
Why buy it from him? Why buy it? The difference to him? You just want to sell it.
No, but now we're talking about, obviously the arrangement was that...
The arrangement was that the goy should give him first option of sale. And therefore, he sold something without checking out. The Kosher Kingdom would match the price of the new buyer.
But Medina Kinyonim, I mean, can we do anything now? The Maiz says it could be that you had a condition, but,
case, would revoke the sale by saying the agreement is that you have to come to me first. If he gives you a better price, I can match that price.
Okay, so let me tell you something. It's Machloikis. So, well, first of all, the Maaseh Binyamin paskins that it is awesome. You can't do that, and therefore we can go to the second yid and say, listen, what you did was incorrect. It's like you were saying, because there was a an internal agreement, or whatever you want to call it, understanding between us that I was going to be first rights on the chametz, and I'm going to be the first right, and therefore somebody preempted that, and that would be the shaila of Ma'ufia. He was my, he understands it like he's my customer. The goy and me, we are, Mr. Kosher Kingdom saying that the goy and me are in a transaction. You know, we do this every year, we buy and we sell from each other. He's my customer, I'm his customer, whichever way you want to look at it, and therefore you're impeding, you're encroaching on my ASIC that you're not allowed to, says the Maaseh Binyamin, that you're not allowed to do that. You're allowed to go to the second year and say, give me back the keys to my place. The Makor Chayim, in Tav Mem Ches Sif Hey, argues. He says, no, whatever sold is sold. He says, Chalil Bechaz, can you say that, you know, that he still has, the first year still has any shaykhis to the chametz whatsoever, because otherwise you'd be over bali yirai, bali matzah. When you sell chametz, it has to be chalutin, it has to be absolutely gamre, with no conditions, no attachments whatsoever. You made all 10 kinyonim, you gave up your bialis, and that's the way it has to be in order not to be over the issa toira. And once you did that, you have to take the responsibility that is no longer your chametz. Right, I think we're all masking to that. You have to mamish bedas, give up all hope of that chametz, and therefore he paskins not like Maaseh Binyamin. He says you lost your chametz. You lost the chametz. All right, that's again another application of Ma'arufia, whether that would be applicable or not applicable. Now let's talk about that more details before we come to the Pesach Halacha. How are we doing for time? Okay, wow. So. Let's talk about advertisement. You know, we talk about you're not allowed to, according to the Rashba, you're not allowed to take people's customers, but exactly what does that mean exactly? Does that mean you can't advertise whatsoever? Or do we say it's a blanket issa? You know, it's my customer, I always had him, he always comes to me, pays out buying his matzahs and his wine by me, and all of a sudden you open up a store, it's coming to you. So says the Chatan Sofer, we don't find such a blanket issa that you can't open up a store next to somebody else and advertise. There's absolutely no problem because a customer at the end there has free choice. Like we said before, that small is that it's not necessarily true that your customer is actually going to buy from you. You have actually no proof. If you have a contract, an ongoing contract, a government contract, and that government, particularly that foreign government, keeps on buying from you or whatever. And then you're making it so that, you know, that you're going to give a better price, and then they sort of swing the deal your way. That's something else. But a customer walking down the street, Erev Pesach, looking for chametz, you can't say that, oh, that yid over there down the street, it would have bought from me. That's not necessarily true. You can't restrict the entire market because of your customers. That's one thing he says. Second thing, the Pesachei Tshuva, the Pesachei Choshen says, is that this issa of impeding and taking customers, that's only direct marketing. Only direct marketing. That means you know that a particular customer, like the case of the Rashba. The case of the Rashba, he's masking to because that customer was on his way to the first tailor and you went to that particular person and you knew that he was a customer. That's when the issa applies. But just generally to advertise, put up posters and everything and error emails, to everybody in general, that would not be a problem whatsoever, not at all. But he does say that to cut the price, that's too much of incentive to lure away all customers. So you can't come along and say, you know, half price for matzahs and you get 3 boxes free. You know, that sort of way takes away everybody's free choice and you would gain the entire market of all the customers. Then he says you have to be careful on how you market and what your marketing strategies are. But when it comes to price, that would not be allowed. That's too much of an incentive, and that would be an issa of Ma'arufia. Ma'arufia. And also coming onto the issa of Oni Mahafi Becharor. Now, what exactly is the difference between? It seems to be they're very, very similar. Only Mahafi Bacharol and Marufia, you're both basically taking somebody else's thing, either it's income or a piece of bread or whatever the merchandise is. So we understand there is a Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says that when it comes to Oni Mahafik Becharola, it does not apply to ownerless objects. If that piece of bread, says Rashba, and says the says Rabbeinu Tam, was ownerless, then you would have no, there would be no issue of Oni Mahafik. It only applies when it actually is owned by somebody. It's only owned by somebody. So we have to see that each case has to be done in itself, how they're not similar one to the other. And also, marufio would only apply to a steady flow. That means you already have income. These are things that you acquire all the time. And that could be against, again, you have a particular income through not only customers, but through stock as well. You know, so you're acquiring stock all the time and somebody else is getting a better price and takes that stock load off you. That would also be a problem of marufia, because eventually that would affect your thing. That would not apply to Ani Mahafek. So there are chilukim and dinim when we say one, when we say the other. Now, I want to tell you the tshuva at the end of the day. What is the Minchas Yitzchak? We spoke about a lot of different shilas, so let me just reiterate the two shilas that we wanted to find a psak. These were just rayas. So the first shila was, you had Shimon working for Reuven. Shimon was working there for many years, built up a client base, and then wanted to take, or did take actually, this whole client base that he built up and took it over to another competitor. Now, it's true that he built it up. Well, that would be a problem of Marufia taking away a steady floor or not. And the other shot was, what about the bus case? Eged having the bus, they have a bus stand, they have people there, would it be permissible for a taxi to come along and start waving customers to him? So the Minchas Yitzchak says as follows, something very interesting. So he says, even though it's hard to prove that somebody's done a wrongdoing, okay? It's hard to prove that somebody's wrongdoing. Again, to say that the customers would have definitely bought from the first manufacturer, we can't always say. How loyal were they? Is all erechim. You would have to really evaluate each single customer and speak to them and say, would you actually bought this year? Is that really called taking income away? He says that we don't have a Beis Din strong enough to evaluate all the different potim in the Isur Chazal of Marufia or Oni Mahafe. But what he says is very interesting. He says, though, that Beis Din have a responsibility to keep law and order in our towns, in our cities. And therefore, even though they cannot prove that it's Vaday also, but they definitely do protect businesses and people's incomes. That's their job as a Beis Din. It's interesting. The big chiddush, though, even though there's no mefurash psak in halacha, but he says that we're duty bound in order to restrict people, not to make it hefker, that they can start impeding other people's profits, even though we can't prove that it's actually doing an isser. So therefore, the Beis Din would have the koach to reprimand the Shimon and say, no, you cannot take this particular client base that at the end of the day was being used by the first manufacturer and remove it and use it with a different manufacturer, because that is a wrongdoing. Again, a chiddush, because he can't prove it, but the job of Beis Din is to create law and order, and that's the way the Minchas Yitzchak Paskin. And about the picking up service, so he says it's false. Again, not clear, because it depends on the circumstance. How far was the taxi when he came by the Eged bus stop? How far was he by the bus stop? Now, it's clear that if the taxi is standing right in front of the people underneath the bus stop, that would be awesome. But if the taxi is further off and he's not engaging directly with the customers, and the customers themselves decide, you know, I've been waiting for the bus is late 5-10 minutes, of course, there'll be no issue of the customer waving down a taxi. Everybody agrees to that, right? You're standing by the bus stop. You'd be allowed, obviously, to call a taxi down. So therefore, you'd be allowed to walk over to the taxi and walk into the taxi. But if he's standing mummish underneath the Eged logo and under the bus stop and really engaging and pull away your customer, that he says is awesome. But anything further than that, then that would be permissible. Okay.
Yeah, sure.
I wish you a caution,
Pisa.